A robbery defendant flees the state the day after the crime and gives a false name when police stop him. The prosecution wants the jury to hear it. Now, does running away prove he committed the robbery? Of course not. Innocent people run for all sorts of reasons. Frightened people run. So is the evidence admissible? Yes. And that gap between proves nothing and comes in anyway is the whole point of today's first door. Relevance is a famously cheap ticket. It does not ask whether the evidence wins the point. It asks whether the evidence moves the needle at all. Every fact passes through two doors before a jury hears it, and you will know exactly what each door asks. Here is the route. Door 1. Relevance under Rules 401 and 402, and why the bar sits so low. Then the offer to stipulate, and the one narrow place it changes the answer. Then Door 2, Rule 403, its exact wording, its six dangers, and the thumb the rule puts on the scale. Start at Door 1. Relevance is not a property evidence carries around on its own. Evidence is always relevant to something, to a particular fact the case is fighting about. So the question is never just, is this relevant? The question is, relevant to prove what? Rule 401 then breaks it into two halves, and you need both. First half. Does the evidence have any tendency to make some fact more or less probable? That is, probative value. Second half. Is that fact of consequence in determining the action? Does it matter to a claim, a defense, damages, or a witness's credibility? That is, materiality. Nudge a fact that matters, and you clear Rule 401. Miss either half, and the evidence is irrelevant. Now, the single most important intuition in this whole topic, the bar is extremely low. There is a classic teaching line for it. A brick is not a wall. One brick will not build your case, but it is still a building block. And a building block is all relevance requires. The evidence need not be conclusive. It need not make the fact more likely than not. It just has to change the probability at all, which gives you a reliable answer-eliminating instinct. When a choice says evidence is inadmissible because it is not sufficient to prove the point, that choice is almost always wrong. Same for standing alone, it does not establish the fact. Sufficiency is a jury question. Relevance is a much lower gate. Back to our fleeing defendant. Flight does not prove guilt, but it has some tendency to show a guilty conscience. And a guilty conscience is of consequence to whether he committed the robbery. Some tendency is enough. Whether it is convincing is for the jury. Now, contrast an immaterial fact. Suppose the same defendant is left-handed, and nothing in the case turns on handedness. Relevant or not? Not relevant. It proves something perfectly true and completely pointless. That is materiality doing its work. One more piece of Door 1. Rule 402 sets the default. Relevant evidence is admissible unless the Constitution, a federal statute, the rules themselves, or other Supreme Court rules say otherwise. And irrelevant evidence is never admissible. So relevance is necessary but not sufficient. It gets you in the door. Another rule can still shut it. And do not discount circumstantial evidence. Direct evidence proves a fact outright. An eyewitness who saw the light was red. Circumstantial evidence proves it by inference, skid marks suggesting speed. Both are relevant. Circumstantial is not weaker as a matter of law. Now, the offer to stipulate, which is heavily tested. Sometimes the opposing party says, "You do not need to prove that. I will concede it." Does that concession make the proponent's evidence irrelevant? As a general rule, no. A party is normally entitled to prove its case with its own evidence, in its own way. Evidence carries persuasive and narrative force that a dry stipulation cannot match. A bare admission read to the jury is not the same as living testimony and exhibits. So commit the default to memory. An offer to stipulate does not destroy relevance, and the proponent generally need not accept it. But there is one narrow, heavily tested exception. When the only thing a piece of evidence proves is a defendant's legal status, and the details add nothing but prejudice, the court should make the prosecution accept the stipulation. The textbook setting is felon in possession, where being a convicted felon is itself an element. Take Darla, charged under a Franklin statute, making it a felony to possess a firearm after a felony conviction. To convict, the state must prove she possessed a firearm and that she had a prior felony. Darla offers to stipulate that she has a qualifying conviction. The prosecutor instead wants the full record showing the prior was felony child abuse. The prior conviction is still relevant, it proves an element. But once Darla concedes the status, naming the prior as child abuse adds zero probative value on that element. It sharply raises the risk the jury convicts because she seems dangerous. So, under Rule 403, the court should require the state to accept the stipulation. Notice how the two rules connect. The offer to stipulate does not make the conviction irrelevant. It lowers the evidence's probative value in the 403 balance, because an equally probative, far less prejudicial alternative is sitting right there. Change the facts so the nature of the prior actually matters to a live issue, and the analysis flips. Door 2. Rule 403 is the safety valve and the great equalizer of the whole code. It lets a trial judge exclude evidence that is relevant, evidence that would otherwise come in when the costs of hearing it swamp its worth. Many specific rules are really just 403 balancing applied to a recurring situation. Here is the wording, and you memorize it exactly. A court may exclude relevant evidence if its probative value is substantially outweighed by a danger of one or more of six things: unfair prejudice, confusing the issues, misleading the jury, undue delay, wasting time, or needlessly presenting cumulative evidence. That is the whole list. Two words in that sentence decide most 403 questions: may and substantially outweighed. Put probative value on one side of the scale and the danger on the other. If they are roughly even, the evidence comes in. If the danger only slightly beats the probative value, the evidence still comes in. Exclusion happens only when the danger clearly and heavily dominates. And even then, the rule says the court may exclude. It is discretionary, reviewed on appeal only for abuse of discretion, not second-guessed fresh. So the usual right answer is admissible, and a choice saying the judge must exclude, or using a plain outweighs test, is usually a trap. Try one. A plaintiff offers a diagram showing the defendant was going 10 miles per hour over the limit. The judge finds it genuinely probative on negligence and finds the probative value and the prejudice roughly in balance. Admit or exclude? Admit. Roughly in balance means nothing substantially outweighs anything. Now the trap that catches the most students. Prejudicial does not mean unfairly prejudicial. All good evidence is prejudicial in the ordinary sense. It hurts the other side. That is the entire reason you are offering it. Rule 403 is not offended by evidence that is merely damaging or persuasive. Unfair prejudice is narrower. An undue tendency to make the jury decide on an improper basis, usually by inflaming emotion with gruesome or shocking material, or by inviting forbidden reasoning: he did it before, so he probably did it again. or by tempting the jury to punish the party for something other than the issue on trial. So do not ask, "Does this hurt the opponent?" Ask, "Does this tempt the jury to decide for the wrong reason?" One more thing, because it shifts a lot of answers. A judge facing a 403 problem is not stuck with all or nothing. She can shrink the danger and then let the evidence in. A limiting instruction under Rule 105, telling the jury the narrow purpose the evidence may be used for. Redaction, blacking out the prejudicial part. Sanitizing, admitting the fact while hiding inflammatory detail. Because those measures shrink the danger side of the scale, they push the balance back toward admission, which is exactly why the felon in possession stipulation works. Last, a worked example that shows the whole balance moving. In a murder trial, the prosecution offers autopsy photographs. Gruesome images are prejudicial in the plain sense. They are upsetting, but they are also probative. They show cause of death, the location and force of the wounds, and they can support intent. So, a handful of clear photos that genuinely help explain the injuries will usually come in. Their probative value is not substantially outweighed by the risk of inflaming the jury. But offer 30 near-identical graphic close-ups after the point is already made, and the extra photos add little and shock a lot. Now they are both unfairly prejudicial and needlessly cumulative, and the judge can cut the surplus. Same evidence, opposite result, decided entirely by the balance. A word on authorities. This episode named no cases, and that was deliberate. Everything here comes from three rule numbers you should be able to recite cold. Rule 401 for the two-part relevance test, Rule 402 for the default, and Rule 403 for the balance. Next-gen questions hand you a courtroom problem and ask what the judge should do. If you keep only three things, keep these. 1. Relevance needs any tendency to prove a fact of consequence and nothing more. 2. Rule 403 excludes only when a danger substantially outweighs probative value, and even then, only may. 3. Prejudicial is not unfairly prejudicial. Now the traps, straight from the examiner's favorites. 1. Confusing prejudicial with unfairly prejudicial. Every helpful piece of evidence hurts the other side. Rule 403 bars only unfair prejudice, an improper basis for decision. 2. Flipping the balance. A plain outweighs test or probative value must outweigh prejudice is the wrong standard. 3. Treating may as must. Exclusion under 403 is discretionary. 4. Thinking an offer to stipulate makes evidence irrelevant. It does not. It bears only on the 403 weighing, and decisively only for a status element. 5. Forgetting materiality. Evidence can truly prove something that does not matter to any issue and that is still irrelevant. 6. Demanding too much of relevance. Evidence need not be sufficient or conclusive. Any tendency will do. And this topic is starred, so no rules will be provided. Lock in Rule 401's two parts, Rule 402's default, and Rule 403's exact wording, plus its six dangers. Time for the quick check, and this one comes straight from the Bargo question bank. A plaintiff sues a trucking company after a highway collision and offers the truck's data recorder. It shows the driver going 82 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone just before impact. The company moves to exclude under Rule 403, arguing the data is highly prejudicial because it strongly suggests fault. Speed and causation are genuinely in dispute. Is the company's Rule 403 argument likely to succeed? Option 1. Yes. Because evidence that strongly suggests a party's fault is unfairly prejudicial. Option 2. No, because damaging evidence is not unfairly prejudicial merely because it hurts the party. Option 3. Yes, because the jury's desire to rule against the company shows an improper basis. Pause here if you want a moment. The answer is option 2. Rule 403 guards against unfair prejudice, not the ordinary damage that all persuasive evidence inflicts. The speed data hurts the company precisely because it is strong, relevant proof on the issues in dispute. That is legitimate probative force, not an improper basis for decision. Option 1 confuses prejudicial with unfairly prejudicial. Making a party look at fault on the merits is fair prejudice. Option 3 misidentifies the improper basis. A jury wanting to rule against a party because the evidence proves fault is exactly how proof is supposed to work. The forbidden kind pushes a verdict on emotion or propensity. There are 30-plus more questions on this topic alone, each with every option explained like that. 5 things to take away. 1. Relevance asks 2 questions. Any tendency to move a fact and a fact of consequence. Miss either half and it is out. 2. The bar is low. A brick is not a wall. 3. An offer to stipulate never destroys relevance. It matters only in the 403 balance and decisively only for a status element. 4. Rule 403 excludes only when probative value is substantially outweighed by one of 6 dangers, and even then the judge may, not must. 5. Prejudicial is not unfairly prejudicial. Ask whether the evidence tempts the jury to decide for the wrong reason, not whether it hurts. Which is why our fleeing defendant's flight goes to the jury. It proves nothing on its own. It only has to move the needle. Next time, character, crimes, and habit. Practice this topic with more than 2,900 exam-style questions, free to start, at nextgenbargo.com. This episode is for education and exam preparation only, not legal advice, and we are not affiliated with or endorsed by the NCBE or any bar examining authority.